Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. It's Monday, December 13th, 2021, live to be rebroadcast Wednesday, December 15th, 2021 on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcasts at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You know, kind of a sad note. Today is the fifth year Gregorian anniversary of my father's passing. So I always remember him on this day, December 13th. It is not the Hebrew anniversary of his passing. That would be the 14th of Kislev, which moves around in the Gregorian calendar. And so that was in early November. But today is his Gregorian passing. So I'll call my mom, I'll call my sister and, you know, check in with them. It's kind of a sad day in our family. And you know, holiday season is coming along. There's a lot of holiday fun stuff going on. Hanukkah is sadly over, and I'm not quite over it. But we're going to get some holiday decorations up, and that'll be kind of fun. And before too long, we'll be heading to Florida to see my mom. So that's nice. So Ron's going to go ahead and ask me some more questions. She's got a bunch to ask me because I'm feeling like, hey, I want to answer a variety of questions about a variety of topics and entertain you about all the different things that we get to talk about. Hit it, Ron.
Oh, okay. So Franny, I fell, Ron.
I remember.
I fell on my back 2 years ago.
I know. It was terrible.
I stepped outside and I did the, I had no idea, had frozen over the night before, and I hit a patch of ice and I went down hard. And I mean really hard. And I knocked the wind out of myself and, you know, it was a hard hit. It was definitely a very hard hit. And I ended up going to, the emergency room afterwards, actually.
You did?
Didn't I?
No.
On that one? I
no.
didn't on that one.
No.
I did on another one. Anyway, that's another story. But I was, I'm pretty sure I did because I went and taught my spin class, but I didn't feel right at all. So I taught off the bike. And then they said, you should go to the emergency room. And I did. And
you did?
Everyone had fallen that morning.
Oh, did you go to Wyndham Hospital or did you go to urgent care?
I went to Wyndham Hospital.
I don't even remember this.
Yeah, I did. And I just they said I was fine and that I was going to be okay. But, you know, just be careful and get some rest.
Did they take an x-ray?
I do believe they took an x-ray.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
I'm trying to remember if they took an x-ray. I don't think they took an x-ray. I don't think they did.
That would have been nice if they had.
It would have been nice because it would have given me a little bit better clue as to what happened. But anyway, I still feel it.
Really?
Yeah.
And this is like 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very tight in that area. My back gets super tight. My shoulder it's right around my scapula. It gets super tight and it's not real happy. And so anyway, talk to me about it.
Okay. So what you didn't say is when you fell, how did you land and what did you hit?
I landed like flat on my back.
Okay.
Really flat on my back.
All right.
And I hit on, we have a large stone in front of our house.
Which is very attractive and not so safe.
But it's really not safe. It is nice looking and it adds to the whole, you know, look of the house and all that, but it really is a problem.
It's not safe, and especially this time of year, because there's a little pot in it, there's a little pit in it where water does collect. And in the summertime, the water collects there. And if we don't get around to it, it grows little mosquito larvae. And then this time of year, it will fill up and it will freeze. And that whole slab can freeze and get bits of ice on it. So it's not entirely safe. I wonder if it's a good idea. It's so pretty. I wonder if it should be moved somewhere else. It could be a feature in a little garden in our yard somewhere else. It probably shouldn't be where it is.
You're right. It could be somewhere else.
I
would need a very large piece of machinery to move that.
Oh, maybe a couple of your friends and kind of.
Oh, no. We're talking tractor. We're talking that is one large rock. It is really, really big.
So that's... Mike across the street?
Mike across the street with some large equipment, yes. But not having anybody. No one's going to lift that thing. That big. If you're feeling like you think you can lift it and you've got all that going on, contact me. But I guarantee you, you're not going to lift that thing up and move it around.
All right.
It's pretty big.
So anyway, so you fell flat on your back. Do you know if you, so if you're going to impact flat on your back, places you're going to tend to impact are stuff that sticks out because, you know, your spine has a curvature. So the places that are going to hit are the places that stick out. So the places where, what could hit is your sacrum, the bottom, very bottom part of your spine where your butt is.
Yep.
Probably not your thoracic spine, but maybe. Your lower thoracic, probably not your lumbar spine, but possibly. And then definitely your thoracic spine, because you have a little extra curve in your upper spine, which includes, so your upper spine, as well as your scapulae, these bones way up here. And also you could obviously hit your head.
And I think I did. And that's why I ended up going to the hospital because I got pretty woozy I wasn't feeling good.
So you might have had a little concussion.
So I might have had a little concussion and that's what I went to the hospital for and that's what they checked me for.
Oh.
But then they said, you're okay.
Right. But you don't recall them taking an x-ray.
No.
Oh boy.
No.
So first of all, if there's a chance you could have a head, if you hit your head and you feel woozy, it's not a bad idea to go to the ER because they might, if you're woozy enough, they're going to give you a CAT scan and make sure you don't have any bleeding in your brain. Wow.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure you get that checked out. And then as naturopaths, what we might do is if you hit your head, first thing we're going to do is give you a high dose of homeopathic arnica. And that tends to be indicated when you've had an acute head injury. And that sometimes can help to mitigate the effects of that head injury. And you can give homeopathic arnica regardless of when the head injury occurred. It could have occurred the same day and it could have occurred 20 years ago. And we still will give it. And sometimes it can help with symptoms related to a head injury. Then, of course, you know, you're going to look to see if there's any actual bruising and that's going to need to be addressed. And then what I'm not sure of is could you have had a low-grade fracture of your scapula? Because you seem to have a fair bit of pain on that side. And you said that it doesn't get better despite the fact that you stretch a lot, right?
Yeah.
But it is better with rest. And so I'm not entirely sure what happened. The impact could have impacted various places along your spine, your scapula, your lumbar spine, perhaps, your thoracic spine, your neck. I mean, when you land flat on your back with impact, it can affect a lot of things.
Right. Like your head could bounce when you hit.
Yes,
yeah. And
absolutely.
Then you could hit your head.
And you were obviously not wearing a helmet. So I don't know if you had a low grade.
I generally don't wear my helmet when I'm walking to my car.
No, I know. And so I don't know if you had a low grade fracture that was never noticed or treated. That's a possibility.
Mm.
So in the meantime, you know, you still feel it. And where do you feel it now?
Where do I feel it now? I feel it like it seems to be around the muscles around my scapula.
Okay. On the right side or the left side?
On the right side.
Okay. Yeah.
And what happens is if I'm, you know, working in the kitchen, standing up for an extended period of time, it gets tight. It gets really tight. And
yeah.
I have to constantly reach and stretch and, you know, I'm just, that's what it is. I have to, and then I have to sit down. And once I sit down, I'm fine. But when I'm standing is when it bothers me the most.
And how often do you have that discomfort when you're working in the kitchen?
Every day.
Ugh.
Yeah.
All right. So, so here's what I would recommend. First of all, are you taking magnesium?
Yes.
So taking magnesium is a good idea because magnesium is going to help to keep those muscles softer and calmer. Also, the tendon, this is a long-standing, it's a long-standing injury, so I tend not to use arnica for long-standing injuries unless the indications for arnica are there. What are the indications for arnica? You want the pain of arnica to feel like it's bruised. So you want to have that bruised sore sensation. If you don't have that, I wouldn't necessarily use arnica. If you have literal bruising where you see the bruising, you absolutely can use arnica. So arnica has been shown to help to move stagnant blood out of the area. But, you know, a nice arnica salve that has a few things in it, that has some arnica, maybe some St. John's wort, which can help with nerve pain, and ruta graviolens, that can all be helpful. For a long-standing injury where you're not so concerned about the acuteness of it, but it continues to be off and on sore and it's having trouble healing, I like to use a salve that's aimed at tendons that doesn't necessarily have arnica in it. And my favorite herbs for that are going to be comfrey. Believe it or not, goldenrod. Yes, that goldenrod that grows as a weed in the backyard that you think you're allergic to, but you're not. Everybody thinks they're allergic to goldenrod because it blooms at the same time as some other things that are blooming. But I understand from Susan Weed that goldenrod has very large pollen that really can't get inside your nose and hang around and do any damage. And people think that they're allergic to it because it's so big and it's so obvious that you're not paying attention to the mugwort that may still be blooming, and definitely the ragweed. The ragweed blooms at the same time. Ragweed is very allergenic. And the other thing that starts to happen, especially as September progresses into October, is a lot of plants start to die back. And then you have, as the plants are dying, you have dampness, especially here in Connecticut. And then you get mold growth. So people are reacting to that as well. But goldenrod is a wonderful anti-inflammatory plant. And it can work inside your body as an anti-inflammatory for pain and inflammation. And you can also take goldenrod. It's great for your urinary tract. And it's also great if you have a cold. It's a really lovely herb. It's a very useful herb. And it's ubiquitous. It's not in danger of becoming endangered. So getting goldenrod, known botanically as solidago, really helpful herb, and it's a great thing to have in a salve. So I love to have comfrey and goldenrod and ruta graviolens. Ruta graviolens is one of my favorite plants too, because that I like for cranky tendons. Comfrey and ruta graviolens, great for cranky tendons. And then another one that's really great for tendons is dandelion. And another one is daisy. All these like weeds that just grow everywhere that aren't endangered. They're really terrific anti-inflammatories and helpful for tendon healing. So comfrey, goldenrod, daisy, ruta graviolens, really incredible plants. So we have a salve that has a lot of that stuff in it. So you might want to be applying that regularly. So that's a good thing to put on there. We also, I think you like that the EFAT cream that we have, that the one with the esterified fatty acids, that's that cold stuff, that cold white stuff that we have.
Okay.
Yeah. The EFAT cream. It's right. So anyway.
It's hard to reach. You should do it for me.
Okay. Yeah. So you'll let me know if you want me to put stuff on you. You have to let me know and I'll do it for you.
You should
that's
do it
fine.
For me. It'd be good.
I don't mind. especially if it's going to help you. So that's something you can do. What else can you do? Obviously, stretching regularly is going to be helpful. You want to get some good function back in those muscles. And you might want to do strengthening exercises, too. Because if the muscles and tendons around your shoulder girdle and your scapula are strong, then you're not going to have as much weakness. And you're going to start... You may be recruiting muscles that are kind of weak and sore, and if you could get some strength back in them, you might not have as much soreness when you're, you know, standing around making food or whatever it is you're doing. So that's an issue. The other thing is, after you got hurt, did you go to the chiropractor?
Well, a long time after, not right after.
How often do you go to the chiropractor?
When you make me.
Right, so hardly ever. Generally, so I go to the chiropractor pretty much every week unless myself or Dr. Swez are not available. So I get tune-ups and I'm able to do that. And I figure I'm very hard on my body. I mean, I'm sitting at a desk for long hours or I'm riding on a bicycle for long hours. And I'm 58 years old and, you know, I deserve to have my spine in alignment and just everyday life makes it so your spine gets out of alignment. So I trust my chiropractor. And, you know, this is part of that big problem that physical medicine is not thought of as something that should be available to everyone all the time. And it's a huge shame because easily putting your your body, having somebody put their hands on you in a therapeutic way is so easy. It's so non-invasive and it's so good for you. It would cost the healthcare system so much less to allow people to have regular physical medicine. As it stands, chiropractic is not necessarily covered well by insurance companies, and acupuncture not necessarily as well. I mean, it's covered. It can be covered by certain insurance companies, but it's not necessarily covered well. Physical therapy, you have to get referred by a doctor who is not necessarily a doctor who's qualified to assess you, and then you get only so many visits. And sometimes these things take a long time to take care of. And I'm in a position where I'm able to go most weeks to see my chiropractor. So I'm very fortunate that I'm able to do that. And people who don't have a lot of money or don't have good insurance can't necessarily do that. And I think this is another failing of our healthcare system that really needs to be taken care of. So the thing is, if you were to go to the chiropractor, you probably have some spinal misalignments at every level. And Dr. Suez doesn't, you know, Dr. Suez and other chiropractors don't necessarily just adjust your spine. They will adjust anything that is not working for you, anything that is that's difficult for you, and it can be really helpful. And they also have machines that stimulate the muscles, that electric machines that can help you there. They can recommend supplements and stretches. And all kinds of things that can be really helpful. So one of my questions is, what I don't know is if you had a fracture, and if you're still a fracture that isn't well healed, and that would be interesting to know.
And it could be.
So anyway, taking magnesium, making sure you're getting enough potassium in, and potassium you can get in as far as, you can get in. If you eat a lot of produce, you'll get your potassium on board. You know, especially if you eat a banana, if you eat avocados, you eat leafy greens, prunes and apricots have a lot of potassium in them. If you eat a large complement of produce, you're going to get a lot of potassium in, and that's going to help you to be calmer. And then just getting rest, getting stretching. And the other thing you can do is you can get a foam roller. A foam roller can be really helpful for rolling out sore spots and rolling out sore tendons and getting circulation back to that area and promote healing. So chiropractic is one way to do it. Acupuncture would be another great way to do it. Acupuncture is a great way to get circulation into the area and get the channels flowing well in that area. I'm a big fan. And getting targeted massage therapy would probably be good too. Acupuncture, acupressure could also be helpful. So any of those things would be helpful. And you, for some reason, you're not big on getting physical medicine. And I don't know why.
Well, some of us don't have the same budget as other people have.
Well, okay. But
so,
have you checked?
It costs me money every time I go there.
Have you checked to see if your insurance covers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
insurance is not really big on covering chiropractic care. They're not really big on covering acupuncture. They're not really big on covering the medicines that work.
That's unfortunate.
They love to cover the medicines that have drugs related to them.
Yeah.
But that's a social comment or a political comment, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, some of us don't have the luxury of being able to have a chiropractor at our disposal at any given moment without paying a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
That's true.
And you know what? If I had that luxury, I would be there all the time.
Yeah.
But and yet I don't. So that's a problem.
That's true.
And that is a problem with our healthcare system. You know, I have the best healthcare I've had in my entire life right now, but it still doesn't cover certain things.
Does it not cover chiropractic at all?
It does, but there's a copay on it.
Okay. All right, so we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about it another time.
We'll talk about that. Yeah. All right. So we'll see about that copay thing. All right. So there you go. So if you don't have natural medicine at your disposal, like you're not able to go to get physical medicine, then those salves can be really helpful. Epsom salt baths can be helpful. If you can't get into a bathtub, you can do Epsom salt soaks where you create a little a basin of Epsom salts with warm water and you just rub a washcloth on your back, and that and touching the Epsom salts to your back is going to be really helpful. You can get Epsom salt cream too that you just apply to your back. And that's a nice thing too. It's a nice magnesium sulfate, which is very calming. And the other thing is foam rollers. And also you can get trigger point balls. And a trigger point ball, you could use a tennis ball. I'm not a big fan of a tennis ball for trigger points because I feel like tennis balls are too gushy. They're too soft. And if you get what's called a yoga ball, I'm not sure why they're called yoga balls, but in yoga class, some yoga teachers will help you do trigger point work with these little hard balls. And they're the size of a power ball, you know, or a handball. And they're nice and hard. And you can lean against a wall or the floor with on a trigger point, and they will help to undo trigger points in your back. And you can also get lacrosse balls. Lacrosse balls are a nice size, and they're small and they can get to trigger points too. There's also the AccuBall, and the AccuBall is a little plastic ball and it comes in different sizes, and the larger sizes have water inside them and you can heat them in the microwave and warm them up, which is very nice. The smaller ones have little plastic spikes on them, not pokey spikes, just blunt spikes, and they're supposed to get acupuncture points. So they can be very helpful too. Those can be really nice if you run the soles of your feet over them, because you're going to, in reflexology, you have the ends of acupuncture meridians that are on the soles of your feet, and you can rub over those. So, and then the other thing is to get a foam roller. Foam rollers can be really helpful. So for people who can't get to physical medicine regularly because of cost considerations, I recommend getting the yoga or lacrosse balls or the AccuBalls, or doing a foam roller, or having your nice partner do something for you as well.
There you go.
So there you go. All right. So what else you got?
Oh, my goodness. You gave me a question that is going to be, well, it's an interesting question. Probiotic species found in women's vaginas with the least vaginitis and UTIs.
Yeah. Well, I
that's an interesting question for me to address,
I know,
Fran.
Thank
you so much.
That's not really your question.
It's
not really my
question.
I put that in there because
I would not have thought to ask that question even.
I put it in there because of Ginger. So shout out to my buddy Ginger Nash. Who's a naturopathic physician. I believe she practices down in Hamden, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And she's made it somewhat of her expertise to look at vaginitis. And she just she recommended certain species that are found in women's vaginas who have the least vaginitis and UTI. So there's four species. I'll read them off. You just need to go and get a women's if you need that, you can go get a women's probiotic. If you have a lot of vaginitis, repeat vaginal infections. So Lactobacillus crispatus is one of them. Then Lactobacillus gesseri, Lactobacillus jensenii, and Lactobacillus rhamnosus. That you'll see that combination in certain probiotic species, and those are predominant in women's vaginas who don't have a lot of vaginitis and UTIs. Then if you're specifically trying to keep a woman out of yeast infections, there's two really good species, and that's Lactobacillus reuteri RC14 and Lactobacillus rhamnosus GR1. And there you'll see that when you go to look for women's probiotics, they're either going to have that four-pack that I mentioned, the Lactobacillus crisp, gas, gents, and rhamnosus, or it's going to have the other two, the Lactobacillus reuteri and rhamnosus GR1. So those are things to look at. So when you get a probiotic, you might want to consider what you're taking that probiotic for. You're taking it for regularity? Are you taking it to prevent infections? Do you have a history of diverticulosis or diverticulitis or inflammatory bowel disease? Or are you taking it to prevent vaginitis and urinary tract infections? So that's going to help to inform which probiotic you decide to get. If you want general probiotics support, I am a big fan of kefir. Kefir, if you're not dairy intolerant, kefir has an amazing complement of a large amount of persistent probiotics in it. It's really good for you. So even if you have like 2 ounces of kefir a day, especially if it's unsweetened and unflavored, that's going to do a lot for your health, as long as you're not sensitive to the dairy that's in it. And if you are, you can get water kefir. You can make it yourself or you can buy it. And water kefir is usually grown on coconut. If you're coconut sensitive, that's a problem too, in which case you can look at kombucha. But water kefir is going to have a lot of those great species, the large amount of species that's found in kefir, and it'll be grown on coconut, so you don't have to deal with the dairy as long as you're not coconut intolerant. So that's a great way to get a lot of different species. And you can, of course, buy probiotic pills that have a lot of different species in them for general health and wellness. And remember, it is very, very important for you to have a good complement of various kinds of probiotic in your body, because they help with your immune system. They help to keep you out of digestive infections. They help to keep you out of allergies and respiratory infections. They help with your whole immune system. And they help you with mood. If you have a poor probiotic complement, you're going to have depressed mood. And they help with detoxification, and they help to maintain your hormones. And these are just a few of the things that they do. They probably do more than that. But remember that having a good complement of healthy probiotics on board is really good for you. All right. What else you want to know?
Okay. What else do I have on my list here? Let's see.
We're at question number 3.
Oh, this is a big one. We were talking about this morning at the spin class.
Oh, because, do tell.
Because did you know?
No,
did you know that the town of Chaplin Elementary School has shut down the school because of COVID?
No way.
Yay way.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's like really like, you know, a mile and a half, 2 miles from us.
I know.
Just so you know, they had 5 active cases pop up in one day, and the principal said, nope, that's it, we're done, and shut it down.
Wow.
And so that's a big deal. He's very, very concerned. I talked to a concerned parent because she takes my class, and she is now back to at-home teaching.
Wow.
And, fortunately has the ability to kind of work that within her schedule. But, you know, it's not easy. They both work, so it's tough. But will the pandemic ever end?
I don't know.
I'm just hearing things like, I guess I just heard a report from Great Britain and...
By the way.
They're looking at... Oh, that's for you.
This is an AccuBall.
That is an AccuBall. It is. That one is particularly good if you want to roll your feet out.
I was just saying that. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have plantar fasciitis or if you have foot pain, this is very nice. You see the little button. Now, I'm sorry if you're listening only the audio, but if you're looking at Facebook Live, I have this little blue ball. It's got little flat spikes on it.
It looks like a coronavirus.
I was just going to say that. It doesn't exactly, because the spikes are not that long.
It's the COVID. It's the COVID ball.
But it's very cute. But as Ron said, you can put this on the floor. I keep one at my office desk, that you can put it on the floor and you can roll your foot over it. And it will be helpful if you have problems in the sole of your foot. So if you have plantar fasciitis, if you have foot pain, it can be really helpful for that. But also, it's not just that. There's this concept of foot reflexology. And reflexology means that the acupuncture meridians that go through your whole body, they're different channels and they're associated with different organ systems or different central systems. They have endpoints, and they have endpoints in various places on your body. They have endpoints on your hand, the palms of your hands. They have endpoints on your tongue. They have endpoints on your ears. They have endpoints on the soles of your feet. So if you roll your feet, the soles of your feet over this, you're going to hit a lot of acupuncture points. So it's going to give you some whole body healing and stimulation. It's like an adaptogenic treatment for your whole body. So it's a very nice thing. And you can, as I said, you can take this ball and you can put it against maybe a trigger point, a sore spot on your shoulder, and then lean against the wall or the floor and apply pressure, and it will help to alleviate that pressure. So this is what it looks like. I didn't realize this was sitting on the desk.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
There.
So back to the pandemic. Will it ever end?
What's the deal? I mean, so, it seems like we go from one...
extreme to the other.
We have these different, we get these different levels of it, and we're going to run out of Greek letters here soon, I think.
Right. Well, you're getting different variants.
We're getting different variants. And how is it that we can, I guess we know how we get the different variants, but how do we,
There's just a lot of things to question here. How do you make people less stupid, first of all?
Oh, jeez.
That's a big one. I just don't understand what people don't get about this.
Here's the thing with the pandemic. It's very complex. It's too complex for most people to understand. And it isn't because they're stupid.
I mean, I went to the grocery store last night to grab a couple things to make dinner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got to tell you, when I go to the grocery store, I'm like a track star. I get in the door, I get out the door. That's it. I am just in, out. I spend 10 minutes or less, even if I'm buying a lot of things. I am in and out of there so quickly.
Yeah.
Because everyone who works at our local grocery stores, they all wear masks. They're all really good about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that come there are not good about it.
Yeah.
And it's like they're, you know, walking around this cavalier attitude of, well, I don't need this. And I don't know if they've been vaccinated or not.
That's right.
You know, we
That's
really
true.
Just don't know. And
yeah.
And they say that you can, you know, wander about without a mask if you've been vaccinated and boosted. But how do I know that someone has been or hasn't been? And, you know, they may just look at it as, well, you know, no one's going to check me anymore, so I'm just going to walk around without my mask on. And those are the people that are dying from Delta.
Yeah.
And they are not, it's not just that they're getting sick, they're dying from it. And
yeah.
They're dying in mass because of it. And it's just like so frustrating that, you know, it's like, When you're driving your car down the road and you get to a stop sign, what do?
You stop.
Right. When you get to a red light, what do? You stop.
Yeah.
Right. Those are rules that we have to follow to be able to keep us from killing one another.
Yes, that's true.
That's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why isn't this just as simple?
It's so complex because it's very complex. And one of the things you could do, if you're interested, I'm going to do a shout out to one of the docs that I follow online, Z-Dog. I don't agree with everything that Z-Dog says, but I like his take. He has a thing where he calls himself alt middle, which is a road that I try to stay along, that you want to, before accepting anything at face value, never accept anything at face value. Think critically. Look at what you're talking about and look what you're thinking about and look at everything that's around it. The problem is it's very hard for people to think critically. People want simple. They want to either know it's okay or know it's not okay. And there's a lot of tribalism around the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the tribalism was set up with the very difficult political climate, you know, that started in 2016, unfortunately.
Right.
And so people went to opposite walls, and your beliefs about the pandemic were colored by where you stood politically. So there's a few different tribes around the pandemic. One of the tribes is people who are really, really trying to follow the science. And if you just try to follow the science, it changes all the time. Why does it change all the time? Because that's what science does. We have new understanding. We have new things that come up. And you have to change your recommendations based on what you see now. That is just what science does.
I know, but the simple solution is...
There are some simple solutions.
The mask kept us from having flu last winter.
It did. It's
okay.
True.
The mask works. I'm having a network moment here.
Yeah.
You know what that is, right?
I'm
mad as hell and I can't take it anymore.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. and it's like there's such an obvious and you know, it's not going to work all the time. We know that.
Yeah.
But it does work most of the time.
Right. And it does.
And
there is the concept of variolation, which is that if you are wearing a mask and you're exposed to COVID, if you catch it at all, you're going to reduce your viral load because
sure.
you have this thing between
because
you and the
virus. Because you had a buffer
virus.
Between
yes.
you and the virus.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
And it's just like, and we're losing the other. The other point that was brought up today, you know, spin class is fun because we not only kick our own butts in spin class, but mm-hmm. we sometimes get into discussions.
Sure.
And
yeah.
the discussions can be really intense and then the work can be really intense. And we just kind of, it's
yeah.
like going to the bar, you know?
Oh, dear.
So anyway, the big thing that's happening and the real crisis with all of this, we're losing healthcare workers.
Meaning that
they're quitting.
Yes.
They're saying, you know what?
I'm having a network moment. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Yeah. And they're leaving their profession because they can't deal with the fact that they're overworked. They're not underpaid. They're paid well. There's no question about that. You know, the nurses make a lot of money. But the point is that it just, it's tiring to see, I'm gonna be right out with it, to watch stupidity walking through your door and having to treat them. It's tiring.
Yeah.
That I said it.
So, all right. So there's, I try to be more circumspect about this and I try not to judge people. And my understanding is that people don't have, they're not me. They don't have my breadth and depth of medical understanding. And there's a global perspective. So the way that I see it, there's three basic tribes. There's the tribe of the pandemic is overblown. We should not have shut down society and shut down commerce because of something that is only really lethal to very few people. So there's that camp. There's also the camp of that's very far to the left. That's like, I don't believe in taking vaccinations because I believe that my body, you know, I have natural immunity and I believe in taking my herbs and supplements and living my healthy lifestyle. And I'm not going to get particularly sick from this. And this is not necessarily, these are not necessarily people who are far to the right. These are people who are very far to the left. And then there's sort of the middle road, which is we're really trying to follow the science and do the right thing. And I can see myself as a Venn diagram of all of these things, which is what Z-Dog refers to as the alt middle, because I understand about shutting down commerce, because one of the first things that happened on March 16th of last year was that I was terrified. You mean I can't work? What's going to happen? And it wasn't a matter of I'm not going to have patients because I'm not marketing enough. It's I'm not going to have patients because nobody's going to have patients, and you can't market because they're not going to come in. And then we had to pivot very rapidly. And thank goodness the insurance companies made it easy for us to pivot. And they said you could use any non-public facing video app to do visits, and they would charge for video visits the same as for as if they came in. So thank goodness for that. And so we had a little bit of a lull for a while, and then it came back in force, and we're very fortunate that our supplement business also kept going. And so I really didn't suffer very much from the pandemic, because I did get a PPP loan, and which was forgiven, so that was wonderful. And I got a disaster loan. And at some point, I think I'm going to have to start paying that back too. So I was taken care of, and I did not have to close my business. And I was able to keep my staff with the PPP. I was able to keep paying them, and it actually worked out okay. I was very blessed in that it worked out okay for me. I know there are a lot of businesses that had to close that didn't survive, especially in the restaurant industry. Now, in terms of it being very stressful as a healthcare practitioner, it is, because you have people walking through your door. Like I'm seeing people in person, and I'm seeing people who aren't necessarily vaccinated or not necessarily fully vaccinated. And we screen people to make sure that they don't have respiratory symptoms when they come in. And once in a while, somebody squeaks through that they don't understand, that they think, I have a cold, but I don't have COVID, and they don't know that they don't have COVID. Mm. Even if you're vaccinated, you could still have COVID. And that's something that people don't understand. Why am I getting vaccinated if it doesn't protect me from getting COVID? Because that's not what this vaccination does. What this vaccination does is give you neutralizing antibodies. So if you are exposed to COVID-19, you have antibodies to fight it with. So you're going to clear the virus a lot sooner than if you didn't have any antibodies. And it's going to keep you from getting severe disease, and it's going to keep you from getting in the hospital. And so people are confused. Why did I have to get two shots? And then why did I have to get boosted? Well, boosting does give you way more neutralizing antibodies. And so your chance roughly of going into the hospital if you've had two doses of an mRNA vaccine are like 1 in 26,000. And your chances of getting into the hospital if you've been double vaxxed and boosted is like 1 in 280,000. So it really lowers your odds of getting into the hospital. Ron and I chose to get boosted. I felt like I had to get boosted because I'm in healthcare and I have people walking in whose status I don't know, or they're unvaccinated. And once in a while, somebody squeaks through who actually still has cold symptoms. They're not supposed to do that, but sometimes they show up. I mean, they're told in their when they get the reminder calls that they need to let us know if they have any symptoms so we can switch them to virtual or reschedule them. But sometimes they get through anyway. And, you know, quite honestly, and they're required to be masked in my office. And if you come into my office and you let that mask slide below your nose, if it happens enough times, I'm going to give you a paper mask that scrunches against your nose. And if you're insistent, I'm going to open my window, even if it's cold out. And, you know, I'm wearing a mask that has three layers that has some rosemary spray in it to protect me. And I'm gargling and cleaning my nose every day as well. So it's really too complicated for a lot of people to put all these pieces together. That when you go into a store, if you're going into a store and you're vaxxed and boosted and wearing a mask and you're not spending any time too close to anybody, your chances of getting sick are probably pretty low. And, you know, especially if you're spending less than 15 minutes in that store, you're probably not catching a lot of stuff. If you're really concerned about it, one of the things you could do is you could keep some antimicrobial nasal spray in your car that has like xylitol, grapefruit seed extract. You can do that if you want to. And as soon as you get out of the store, you can blow your nose and then spray your nose. And if you want to do some throat spray as well, we have herbal throat sprays that you can use that have echinacea and propolis. So if you're concerned, you go into a store, you can keep that stuff in your car and you can take care of yourself right when you get out. And that might increase your odds of not catching anything, because those things can be helpful. Will it ever end? It's a really good question. One of the things we're seeing is we're seeing ebbs and flows of cases, and we have uneven vaccination. It's true. In places where people are unvaccinated, you do see higher cases. And so the thing is, if the person isn't mandated to get vaccinated, they're probably not going to get vaccinated. So we have in Eastern Connecticut, we have a lot of people who choose not to get vaccinated, whether they're far right or far left. And that's just what you see. And I don't know if I'm a big fan of mandates. I would rather explain the science to people and let them choose and let them err on the side of caution. But for myself, I feel like I have a potential for a lot of exposure. I'm very fortunate in that my office is a very large room. I can open a window. I have a HEPA filter going, which can pull out particles that are even smaller than viruses. So I'm hoping that the HEPA filter is being helpful. So far, I've been okay. I haven't had any respiratory illness since the pandemic began. And my choice is to be very careful about congregate settings. I have been in some restaurants. I went to the theater once, but that theater that we went to, we had to present our vaccine card and our ID and be masked, and everyone was masked, and it was by no means a full auditorium. So I felt pretty safe in there. Congregate gatherings are, I'm not big on going to parties right now. I'm not big on eating in restaurants. I mean, we sat in a restaurant for a few minutes at Tali's Bar Mitzvah, but we didn't stay. And we are going to go to a church this Saturday for a memorial service. Mm. So we'll be masking there, and hopefully it won't be too full. We'll see. Unfortunately, because of the unevenness of vaccination, you're going to see ebbs and flows of this virus. The other thing that's going on right now in this area is that it's cold out. The virus is spread a little bit more readily in cold and dry air, and people are moving indoors and people are spending time together. You know, we're having increases in cases since Thanksgiving. People are gathering for Christmas, and I think people are pandemic fatigued. And so you see people who are going into stores and they're not wearing their masks, and you'll see people like, you know, do you forget sometimes when you get out of a store to sanitize your hands? I mean, we keep hand sanitizer in our cars. Mm. And, you know, at the height of the pandemic, I was being very careful that I was sanitizing every time I got into my car. And I know that certainly during the summer, I was forgetting more. Now I'm remembering to do it. And Ron, I'll come home and Ron's like, you smell like perfume. I'm like, yeah, I smell like hand sanitizer. I have a hand sanitizer in the car. So I'm trying to get through with my little hand sanitizers and get rid of the ones that are really perfumey and get more natural ones. Yeah. But I want to use them up. So, you know, so I'm going to do that. So what can you do now? The thing is, it's really hard to say if this is going to end. One of the reasons we are continuing to get variants is because there's an unevenness of vaccination. And as long as the virus is allowed to stay in the community, it's going to mutate. That's what viruses do. They pick up DNA from other sources and they mutate. So one of the things that's interesting about Omicron. So Omicron was a big deal because it was a new variant that was found and there was a lot of media hype around it. Got a lot of play on all the media outlets. I really think you should be more concerned about Delta than Omicron. Omicron has a section of DNA and it is very similar to the common cold. And what we're seeing, that I haven't heard any reports of Omicron causing very serious illness, that the people are catching Omicron are having mild illness. And that's, you're hearing that across the board, that the people who are in the hospitals who are really sick, they have Delta. So, you know, and Delta, you get pretty good coverage against Delta if you've been vaccinated and boosted. So this is the other question. Do you need to get boosted? This, in my opinion, this depends on your risk. Now, if you have a mandate in your area to get boosted, or you have a mandate by your job to get boosted, you're going to have to make a decision between keeping your job and getting boosted, which is unfortunate. If you're like me, where I get to make the decision on my own, and I don't feel like I want to mandate anybody. Like personally, I don't want to be responsible for mandating anybody to get vaccinated. I'd rather people had their own agency over their own bodies. Even though I understand that, you know, one of the reasons I'm getting vaccinated, it's not just for me; it's for other people. It's so that I'm much less likely to catch it and therefore transmit it to my patients and to my staff and to Ron and to my 82-year-old mother. So that's a decision that I made. Ron is 65, so he's quite recommended to get boosted. He's 65 and he had open heart surgery this year. So he's recommended to get boosted. I live in a house with a 65-plus-year-old. And I am going to Florida to visit my 82-year-old mother. And I am a healthcare practitioner. So these are the things that I had to think about. If I didn't have that going on, if Ron was my age and I wasn't going to visit my mother, if my mother was 58, which wouldn't happen, I might not have gotten boosted. And so these are things you can think about. Are you 65 plus? They're recommending boosting because of immunosenescence. Are you going to be around anybody who's 65 plus during the holidays or at any time that you're concerned about? You could be caregiving. You could have that person living with you. You could be going to visit them. We're just going to go visit them, but we're going to live in our house for 9 days. So we got boosted. Mm-hmm. If that's not you, and the other thing is the younger you are, the less concern there is for serious illness. So if you're in your 20s and 30s and you're not going to be around anybody 65 plus, your chances of getting serious illness are very low if you've been double vaccinated. So it may not be necessary for you to get boosted. Again, if it's mandated in your town or mandated by your job, that's a decision that you have to make. And the other thing is, if you want to get boosted, if you're just anxious about whether you're going to catch COVID and you want to get boosted, you can do that. Nobody's going to stop you because boosting is now recommended for everybody who can get vaccinated. If you're 6 months out from an mRNA vaccine or you're 2 months out from Johnson & Johnson, you can get second dose / boosted. So will this pandemic ever, it's really hard to say at this point because we're going into another holiday season where we actually had them close down the school in Chaplin.
I think we're in big trouble.
I think what will happen ultimately is, I don't know how many years this is going to take, but it has to get to the point where basically the COVID-19 virus is as benign as Omicron or less so. Once it gets to that point where it kills very few people, Then that's when the pandemic will be over. When most people have been in some way exposed to it, that's when we're going to be able to stop the shutdowns. The question is, they're shutting down this school. How serious is the illness that these children are taking? Of course, we're still in a place where we have zero tolerance for having COVID, and we don't want COVID to spread. When you have little kids, mostly they do very well with COVID, but of course they can get that whole body inflammatory, multiple system inflammatory syndrome. And then the other thing about getting vaccinated and boosted when you're younger is you have a higher chance, if you're younger, of getting myocarditis, which is this inflammation of the heart muscle, which is usually self-limiting, but still a concern. And there may be a point at which you have a higher risk of getting myocarditis than you do of getting serious illness from COVID. And that's going to be if you're in your 20s and 30s. Again, you have to be thoughtful about who you're going to be spending time around. Are you going to be spending time around 65 plus people? Are you yourself immunocompromised in some other way? These are all things. So it's not a one size fits all. And this is why it's so confusing to people. When people show up in my office with colds, even after they've been told on their reminder call, if you have any symptoms that could be COVID-19, and I have my staff read off the symptoms, respiratory, you know, just the sniffles, sore throat, runny nose, a new onset of digestive upset. When people have those symptoms, they aren't always necessarily thinking, oh, gee, I have COVID. But COVID can look like a mild respiratory condition. It can look like you have a little cold. So please be aware of that, that if you're like thinking, oh, I just have a cold, it's a good idea to go get tested, because you don't want to spread it to somebody who really will do poorly with it. It's not fair to them. And so even if you're not vaccinated and you're fortunate enough to have COVID such that it's a little bit of the sniffles and you're a little tired for a couple of days, you could really hurt somebody else. So it's a good idea for you to stay home and quarantine and do either a home rapid test or get another test to make sure that you no longer have DNA in your nose. And so that you don't spread it to somebody unwittingly. You want to know if you have it or not. And I can't emphasize this enough. COVID can be asymptomatic. It can look like a mild cold. And you could think, oh, I just have a little cold, and you have COVID. Okay, it can present that way. So please be aware of that. And please be kind and understand that this is not just about you. You can get a very mild case of COVID, and then you can accidentally sneeze on somebody who's immune compromised and could die from it. That's just how this thing works. It's really unfortunate, which is why we're having these indoor mask mandates, because masks really do help. They, you know, whatever you believe about masks, oh, they don't really work. No, they don't necessarily prevent you from, they're not respirators. They don't prevent you from catching or transmitting 100% of virus, but there's this concept that Monica Gandhi talked about of variolation, which is that the mask will catch a good bit of it, and if you are in the presence of COVID-19, you're going to take on a lot less virus. So they are really helpful. And you know, as Ron and I said, we haven't had a cold or flu since before the pandemic, because we've been very careful and we've been wearing masks, and we're serious about wearing masks when we go into stores and stuff. And I wear a pretty heavy mask when I'm working with my patients. It's got three layers. I spray some rosemary spray in it. I clean my nose. I clean my throat. So we've been doing pretty well with it. And the point is well taken that some people are catching the common cold and they're getting very serious symptoms because people have not been exposed to the common cold in a year. And so they're getting quite sick with it. So so that's unfortunate. So anyway, of course, there's all these issues around the pandemic. I'm a big proponent of cleaning your nose, because the viruses can attach to the inside of your nose. And stuff like salt can, just plain old salt, can eradicate. It can undo viruses and bacteria. Xylitol helps to prevent viruses and bacteria from sticking to the inside of your nose. And then grapefruit seed extract generally can kill a lot of stuff. And so can tea tree oil. And so can other essential oils. So small amounts of essential oils in your nasal spray can be helpful. I'm not saying that this is foolproof and that it's going to cure COVID. I'm not saying that at all. I don't think there's anything that you can state that 100% cures COVID-19. But these are things that can be helpful. I think it's just common sense to clean your nose and gargle. I think those are things that are reasonable to do, that mostly COVID-19 starts out in your nose. This is where it replicates. This is where it stays. So if you're wearing a mask and you're thinking, oh, well, I'll just put the, I can't breathe well when I cover my nose, so I'm just going to cover my mouth, might as well not wear the mask at all, because most of your viral transmission and acquisition are going to happen in your nose. That if you're going to cover one part of you, better to cover your nose than your mouth. But the best thing is to cover both. And, you know, find a mask that's comfortable for you that you can wear. And when you're indoors at this time, if you don't want this thing to spread, it's really a good idea to wear a mask. And it's true that you're going to see a lot of people who, for whatever reason, whether they don't believe in it, whether they have pandemic fatigue, whether they think that they're okay because they've been vaccinated, whatever it is, you're going to see people in stores right now who are not vaccinated. That's just the way it is. And be kind. And if you're concerned about that, you can either not go into the stores or just don't spend a lot of time in the stores. Smile and say hello. And if they, it's rare that I've been looked at cross-eyed for wearing a mask. It did happen in rural Pennsylvania, where I walked into a convenience store and there were a lot of signs with expletives on them describing our President Biden, and nobody in the store was wearing a mask, and I was, and they looked at me a little cross-eyed. But around here, that generally doesn't happen, especially with the staff. What you'll see in a lot of stores is the staff will be wearing masks, and the customers may or may not be, and mm-hmm. it's not necessarily being
That's
enforced.
What I see. Yep.
Yes. And so the staff is always going to be kind to you. You know, I mean, I went into a store looking for some jeans for you. Mm-hmm. And I asked someone working there who was well masked, do you have this kind of, you know, do you have jeans with flannel in them? And she said, yes, they're over here. And she showed me, she was super nice to me. And that was that. And I didn't wind up staying in that store because they didn't have what I wanted. And the line was very long, but mm-hmm. people had brought their dogs in. It was nice. So anyway, that's what's going on. So I guess we wound up talking about,
a few things.
Yes, we wound up talking about physical medicine, how it's a good idea to get assessed, and if you can't make it to physical medicine, think about doing foam rolling and Acuballs and other kinds of home stretching, some probiotics that can be helpful for various conditions, and then we wound up talking a lot about the pandemic. So next week, we're going to talk about mushrooms, because mushrooms are very popular. So give that a listen, because big shout out to Lindsay Chmielewski, who's a naturopathic physician in, I believe, practicing in Hamden. Everybody's in Hamden. Because it's a nice little place where you can get good rent and a good spot that's next to New Haven. Okay. Anyway, so she did a great talk at the CNPA, this Connecticut Naturopathic Physicians Association, about mushrooms. So I'm going to highlight some mushrooms and talk about them. So we'll talk about that next week. Okay. So it was very nice to be here for you. You've been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org.